This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulullah. Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Hayyakum Allah, brothers and sisters. May Allah bless you all. May Allah reward you all. Jazakum Allah khair for tuning in. This is episode 43 of the Stories of the Prophets. And we are with session number 12 about Musa alayhi salam and Fir'aun. So 12 lectures so far just talking about Musa and Fir'aun. Yesterday's session was really, I hope you people, those of you who are missing out, you know, from the live sessions, I hope that you can, you know, you're catching up by watching these sessions, because these sessions are all recorded and posted and saved on Facebook, on YouTube, and also on Instagram. So I hope you take some time to go and view them, inshallah ta'ala. Have you missed them? Facebook, Jazakum Allah khair, Salaamu Alaikum. Instagram, Salaamu Alaikum. Again, this is Riyad Orzazi, and welcome you all to our Stories of the Prophets. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. This is episode number 43 lectures, mashallah, so far. And we're still just talking about Musa, and we still have so many other prophets. So this is, inshallah ta'ala, gonna take us maybe, inshallah, until this corona thingy gets lifted up. we'll be still lecturing about the stories of the prophets. So anyways, I'll give you a quick review of what we covered yesterday. So yesterday, brothers and sisters, you know, after the confrontation, Musa alayhi salam and the sorcerers, and after these sorcerers, you know, there were 10,000 of them in one narration, 100,000 of them were promised a reward from Fir'aun, as they were promised a big reward from Fir'aun, not only a reward, but also to come close to Fir'aun, meaning they will become one of his ministers. You know, but once they saw the miracle of Musa alayhi salam, because they knew that their work, you know, their craft is only the craft of a sorcerer. They knew that. So once they saw, you know, what Musa, you know, that sihr that Musa has done with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he casted down his staff, and which devoured all the other, you know, staffs or sticks or snakes, which appeared to them to be snakes, they realized that the work of Musa cannot be magic. The work of Musa cannot be, you know, as they're, you know, something similar to what they're doing. It must be the work of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the spot, they made sujood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the spot. They forgot about the reward. They forgot about everything else. And they submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fir'aun told them, how can you make sujood to him? Or how can you believe in him and his Lord, you know, without my permission. لَأُقَطِعَنَّ أَيْدِيَكُمْ وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ مِنْ خِلَافٍ. So he threatened to cut off their hands and their legs in an opposite way. Meaning, if he was to cut off the right hand, he would cut off the, you know, left foot, and so on and so forth. لَأُقَطِعَنَّ أَيْدِيَكُمْ وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ مِنْ خِلَافٍ ثُمَّ لَأُصَلِّبَنَّكُمْ. And then I will crucify you. You know, imagine he killed these 10,000, you know, sorcerers, or these 10,000 used to be, you know, magicians, which, you know, believed and which repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the magicians, or the ex-magicians, let's say, the ex-magicians, they said, اقضي ما أنت قاض إنما تقضي هذه الحياة الدنيا. Do as you wish. So decree whatever you desire to decree. Decree whatever you desire to decree. They chose to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They chose to submit to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I also mentioned yesterday that there were also few people that believed in Musa alayhi salam. Not only the magicians, but also there were few people that believed in Musa alayhi salam. Asiya. His actually mother from fostering, his fostering mom, she believed in him as well. And her story in Surah Al-Tahrim, which we mentioned yesterday, in Surah Al-Tahrim, when she says, وامرأته فرعون إذ قالت رب ابن لي عندك بيتا في الجنة ونجني من فرعون وقومه وعمله. You know, and she says, the wife of Fir'aun, Asiya, that says, oh Allah, oh my Lord, ibn li indaka baytan fil jannah. She repented to her Lord and she says, oh my Lord, build me a house in paradise. In exchange of what she was to leave behind her. Because this woman, if she was to believe in Musa, that means she's going to have to leave, you know, all her wealth behind her. And that's what she did. She left all her, you know, properties and all her, you know, things in the palace. And she left all her wealth and all her maids and all her gold and all her diamonds and whatnot, you know. But then in return, she asked for a house in Jannah. She asked for a house in Jannah, you know. So, and yes, the Fir'aun, it's been narrated that they crucified her, they put her, you know, they attached her by a tree, you know, and they were beating her up in the midst of the heat of the desert, beating her up. So because she made that dua asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that house in Jannah, she looked up before she died, according to Ibn Kathir and to the tafsir, the tafsir of the Quran in Surah Al-Tahrim. She looked up and she smiled, you know, as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed her accommodation before she died. This is lady, you know, this. And another lady who also believed, we spoke about her yesterday, the lady with the four kids, right? She believed. Who is she? She is the lady who used to serve the daughter of Fir'aun, and she used to, you know, brush her hair. And then, you know, that story when the brush fell off the ground and then she picked it up. And before she picked it up, she said, Bismillah, in the name of Allah. And then the daughter of Fir'aun, she says, in the name of my father. She says, no, in the name of Allah, of my Lord, your God, my God, your God, and the God of Fir'aun. And then the daughter, she told Fir'aun. And then, you know, he threatened to kill her unless she, you know, denounces her religion, but she did not. You know, he brought her kids into this pit of fire. He threw the first kid, he threw the second, you know, he threw the third, so that she renounces her religion, but she did not. She did not. And then at the end, my brothers and sisters, what did she do? She had a baby. She was having a baby. And that baby, as I imagine her, you know, they're trying to pull her baby from her, and then she's trying to grab to her baby. They're trying to grab that baby and pull it, you know, put it out of her, but she's trying to grab onto her baby. And then the baby told her, Ya Ummah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the baby talk. This is a sound, you know, authentic narration from Bukhari. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made her baby talk. A baby talk. Musa alayhi, Isa alayhi salam also spoke fil mad. He spoke. He was being breastfed, you know, Isa alayhi salam. And then he spoke. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him talk. So this woman, her baby also spoke to her and told her, oh mother, do not be sad, do not grieve. I shall meet you in Jannah. Allahu Akbar. I shall meet you in Jannah. Oh mom, I shall meet you in Jannah. And lo and behold, when the Prophet Muhammad was ascended into the heavens, when Prophet Muhammad was ascended into the heavens, he smelled this beautiful fragrant on top of the fragrant of Jannah. Jannah already smells beautiful. Has anybody been to Jannah? But inshallah, we heard a lot about Jannah, but we have not been there. May Allah bless you with the greatest, inshallah ta'ala, blessing of admitting you into the highest level in Jannah. Jannah has a smell. Jannah has a beautiful fragrant. On top of that fragrant, the Prophet Muhammad smelled another beautiful fragrant. And then he asked Jibreel, oh Jibreel, whose fragrant is it? And then Jibreel told him, Ya Rasulullah, this is the fragrant of the Mashitat. Mashitat bint Fir'aun, the maid of the daughter of Fir'aun, the one that used to brush her, you know, her hair, you know, she is in Jannah. There are some people in Jannah today. Allahu Akbar. Yes, there are some people in Jannah today. One of them is this lady. The Prophet Muhammad smelled other fragrances, you know, when he was ascended. He heard the voice of Bilal in Jannah. He heard the voice of Umar ibn al-Khattab in Jannah. You know, he saw things, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there are some people in Jannah today. Na'am, today, before the end of time, before the day of judgment, before hisab, before the day of accountability, there are some people in Jannah today. And one of them is this woman. One of them is this woman. Whose woman? One of them is the daughter, the maid who used to brush the hair of the daughter of Fir'aun. She is in Jannah. Waraqa ibn Nawfal in Jannah. Aywa, Waraqa, hadith which is in Bukhari. Waraqa ibn Nawfal, the cousin of Khadija radiallahu anha wardaha, the man who was 80 something years old when the Prophet saw that, he got the revelation and then he went down, running, and he got so scared and he was so petrified. He told the story, or he narrated what happened to him to Khadija radiallahu anha, and then she took him to her cousin Waraqa ibn Nawfal. Waraqa ibn Nawfal, the Prophet says, he is in Jannah. Allahu Akbar. You know, the martyrs of Badr, of Uhud. In Jannah, the Prophet, he mentioned so many stories about, so many Sahabis, like Julaybib. Julaybib, when, he said that the angels came down to earth, washing him off, doing ghusl for him. And then he said, in Jannah. So there are some people in Jannah already today, my brothers and sisters. May Allah Azza wa Jalla grant us all the highest level in Jannah. Who else? So, brothers and sisters, there is this, but Fir'aun is stern. Fir'aun is not, letting go. Fir'aun has been defeated. I asked yesterday, why didn't he kill Musa? Why he went and he killed those sorcerers or ex-sorcerers, but he did not kill Musa. He was already defeated. He was already defeated, just like the story of Ibrahim, alayhi salam, when they threw him into the fire, he came out from the fire. They did not, that dictator could not kill him because he knew if he was to kill him, he won't be able to kill him anyways. And then more people will believe. So he did not kill Musa, alayhi salam. He just went and he killed the sorcerers. Musa, Fir'aun, got defeated. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions another story of another man who believed. The story is in chapter Ghafir, Surah Ghafir, verse number 28. So this is an amazing man. We don't know his name. We don't know, in fact, who he is. In some narrations, in some tafaseer, it's been said that he is the cousin, Ibn Am, Fir'aun. His cousin, Fir'aun's cousin. Imagine Fir'aun's cousin believed. So he said, وقال رجل مؤمن من آل فرعون. In Surah Ghafir, verse number 28. And a believing man, a believer, a man, a believer. من آل فرعون. From the family of فرعون. So this man, he is from the family of فرعون. Some said that he is his cousin. But he is from the family of فرعون. أتقتلون رجلاً أن يقول ربي الله وقد جاءكم بالبينات وإن يك كاذبا فعليه كذبه وإن يكن صادقا يصبكم بعض الذي يعدكم به. الله أكبر. He said, this man, أَتَقْتُلُونَ رَجُلًا أَنْ يَقُولَ رَبِّيَ اللَّهِ. How can you kill someone who says, my Lord is Allah? Why would you kill someone who says, my Lord is Allah? Leave him. He believes in his God. Leave him. أَتَقْتُلُونَ رَجُلًا أَنْ يَقُولَ رَبِّيَ اللَّهِ وَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ. And he brought you evidence. He brought you evidence. And this man was not shy or afraid or scared to talk in the presence of Fir'aun. He says, وَقَالَ رَجُلٌ مُؤْمِنٌ. This is Surah Ghafir, the verse number 28. And a man, a believing man, he says, how would you kill a man who said, my Lord is Allah? SubhanAllah, just like in Palestine, or in Syria, or in so many countries, in China, in some places, right? Killing people for saying, La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. You and I, a lot of us do not understand really the depth of the meaning of this term, la ilaha illallah, of this expression, la ilaha illallah. There's no God worthy of worship but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Ali radiallahu anhu in the battle of Al-Ahzab, you know, in the Battle of Al-Ahzab, the Confederates, when he was, when that man, Amr ibn Wud, he came and he asked for a duel, you know, and this man was like 80 years old, but he was so ferocious, he was so vigorous, he was powerful, he was strong, right? And then he called for the duel, and nobody wanted, in fact, to come and face him, you know, because they knew that this man is really, really strong, very ferocious and rigorous man, and he was asking for the duel. All the Sahaba got scared, except one boy, he was 17 years old, a young man, 17 years old, years old boy by the name of Ali radiallahu anhu. He stood up and he says, Ya Rasulullah, I'll go and face him. And the Prophet said, no, you sit down. And the Prophet says, who goes to this man? Who goes and fight this man? If he was to die, I guarantee him Jannah. Allahu Akbar. The Prophet says, who goes to face this man? And if he gets killed, I guarantee him Jannah. Nobody wants to get up. They're all scared. Except who? Except Ali radiallahu anhu. He stood up. Ya Rasulullah, I'll go. I'll go face him. I'll go fight him. The Prophet says, sit down, O Ali. Sit down, O Ali. He's a kid, 17 years old. Then Khalid bin Walid was there. And Umar bin Khattab was there. Az-Zubayr was there. These are the lions of the Sahaba. The lions were there, but they were scared. The Prophet kept saying, who goes to fight this man? And if he gets defeated, if he gets killed, I guarantee Jannah for him. Nobody wants to get up except Ali. Said, Ya Rasulullah, I go face him. I go fight him. I'm afraid that he would kill you or Ali. Ali says, Ya Rasulullah, inshallah, I shall kill him. So he goes to him. They were all wearing these armors and, you know, they would not know, recognize one another. Who is the man? The guy said. He says, I'm Ali. Ali who? Ali, oh, that little kid. Go back, my son. Go back and send me somebody else. You know, I used to know your father. Go back and send me somebody else. He says, I will only go back under three conditions. I will only go back under three conditions. Condition number one, you say, La ilaha illallah. Allahu Akbar. The man says in one narration, I would not say La ilaha illallah even if I were to see myself in hellfire. I wouldn't say it. They knew the meaning of it. They knew the meaning of it. He wouldn't say La ilaha illallah. Even if he saw, he said, myself in hellfire, wal-iyadu billah. I wouldn't say La ilaha illallah. You know, people just, you know, La ilaha illallah. You know, you think it's an easy, you know, you think it's like a very light, you know, trivial expression. It is not a trivial expression. It is the key to Jannah. It is that expression that changes lives. You are not only witnessing, asserting that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah Almighty. La ilaha illallah. So this man is saying, are you killing somebody who says La ilaha illallah? Rabbi Allah, who says my Lord is Allah? He does not want to believe in the type. He chose to believe in his Lord. How can you just kill someone who says, my God is Allah, Rabbi Allah? And today, as I mentioned, there are so many people being killed just because they chose to say La ilaha illallah. And you and I, alhamdulillah, we do say La ilaha illallah. We're safe. Allahumma lak alhamd. Nobody's putting a gun or a knife on our neck to denounce our religion. What have you done for your religion lately? What have you done for your deen lately? In the day of judgment, people will come with their necks and, Ya Rabbi, I sacrificed everything for your sake. For La ilaha illallah. And we today, we have sold, astaghfirullah, some of us have sold, you know, our religion for a little bit of this dunya. I'm sorry, this is not part of the, but it's okay. It's okay to mention this. You know, we have sold our deen for a bit of this dunya. For the dirt of this dunya. Some of us have removed the hijab for dunya. Some of us don't pray for dunya. Some of us have gone into haram for dunya. So literally, we have sold our religion for this nothing, the dirt of this dunya. Right? Fir'aun is adamant Fir'aun is adamant, he's not letting go. So what does he say? He says, مَا أُرِيكُمْ إِلَّا مَا أَرَى وَمَا أَهْدِيكُمْ إِلَّا سَبِيلَ الرَّشَادِ مَا أُرِيكُمْ إِلَّا مَا أَرَى وَمَا أَهْدِيكُمْ إِلَّا سَبِيلَ الرَّشَادِ No, no, he's not letting go. What does he say? He says, there is no opinion except mine. You only see what I see. مَا أُرِيكُمْ إِلَّا مَا أَرَى Was he a dictator? Yes, the greatest dictator of all time, Fir'aun. The greatest dictator and oppressor of all time. مَا أُرِيكُمْ إِلَّا مَا أَرَى You only see what I see. You don't see anything else. You have no opinion other than mine. So this man is saying, how can you kill someone who says, my Lord is Allah? And Fir'aun is saying, no, no. You only see what I see. Nobody has no opinion other than mine. And then the man had, look at this man. Again, Surah Ghafir. He has three speeches. Or three dialogues. An emotional dialogue. A spiritual dialogue. And a historical dialogue. In the emotional dialogue, he goes, this man, this believer man, who some said, you know, Fir'aun's cousin. وَقَالَ الَّذِي آمَنَ يَا قَوْمِ وَقَالَ الَّذِي آمَنَ يَا قَوْمِ إِنِّي أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ يَوْمَ التَّنَاءِ يَوْمَ الْأَحْزَابِ وَقَالَ الَّذِي آمَنَ يَا قَوْمِ إِنِّي أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ يَوْمَ الْأَحْزَابِ مِثْلَ يَوْمَ الْأَحْزَابِ مِثْلَ دَأْبِ قَوْمِ نُوحٍ وَعَادٍ وَثَمُودَ والذين من بعدهم وما الله يريد ظلما للعباد And the man, the believer man, he says, Ya Qawmi, O my people, I'm scared that a disaster shall happen to you. A disaster that happened to people before us. Like the people of Nuh, who did not believe in Nuh, the people of Ad, the people of Thamud, وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ and all that came after them. Right? So it's like an emotional, you know, dialogue or speech. Ya Qawm, oh my people, I'm scared that a punishment, that a disaster will happen to you like it happened to the people before you. And then he goes into a spiritual speech. This is again Ghafir. Ghafir. Surah Ghafir. Chapter Ghafir. He goes, وَيَا قَوْمِ إِنِّي أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ يَوْمَ التَّنَادِ Oh my people, I'm also scared of the day of judgment, of the day of Qiyamah, Yawm al-Tanad, where everybody will be calling, maybe regretting, and their regret will be of no avail on the day of judgment. I'm afraid that this will happen. You know, if you don't believe now, what's going to happen to us in the day of judgment? Yawm tawalluna mudbirina. مَا لَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ عَاصِمٍ The day that your wealth, your health, your children, your loved ones will not be of benefit to you. Except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fir'aun is leading you astray. So this man stood up and strong, spoke out in front of everyone, trying to make them يعني realize that which they're doing is wrong. Maybe to take heed. Ya Qawm, O my people. He's speaking the speech of the prophets, my people. And then he goes into an historical speech. Historical speech. وَلَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ يُوسُفُ مِنْ قَبْلُ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ فَمَا زِلْتُمْ فِي شَكٍ مِمَّا جَاءَكُمْ بِهِ حَتَّى إِذَا هَلَكَ قلتم حتى إذا أهلك قلتم لن يبعث الله من بعده رسولا حتى إذا هلك قلتم لن يبعث الله من بعده رسولا كذلك يضل الله منهم كذلك يضل الله من هو مسرف مرتاب. And Yusuf has come unto before. Yusuf has come to you with al-bayinat, with evidence as well, with clear evidence. Yusuf came to Egypt, wasn't he? Yusuf, he traveled, he came to Egypt, and he was a slave. We talked about the story of Yusuf just before Musa. We spoke about the story of Yusuf. And so he's reminding them of Yusuf alayhi salam. So remember, Yusuf was not too long ago. History. Tell him about the history. And then Fir'aun, again, as I said, Fir'aun is adamant. He does not want to let go. So what does Fir'aun say one more time? He goes, Ya Haman, his minister. Ya Haman, ibn li sarhan, la'alli aqlughu al-asbab. أسباب السماوات فأطلع إلى إله موسى وإني لأظنه كاذبا. His cousin, he's talking to the people, and Fir'aun is trying to divert the attention of the people. When he saw that they're listening and they're being, you know, maybe attentively listening and being maybe affected, you know, with what this man is saying, so Fir'aun jumps in. He jumps in trying to, again, he's trying to divert the intention. He goes, Oh Haman, build me a tower so I may arrive at the ways of the heavens, so I may look upon the God of Musa. And I verily, Musa is a liar. Look what he's asking. He's asking Haman, Haman, build me a tower, a very high tower, so I can go up into the heavens to look at the God of Musa. Musa is verily, you know, he's a liar. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله لهم قلوب لا يسمعون لا يفقهون بها ولهم لهم أعين لا يبصرون بها ولهم آذان لا يسمعون بها أولئك كالأنعام بل هم أضل. الله عز وجل says with regard to these people, they have eyes they cannot see with, they have ears they cannot hear with, they have hearts they cannot even feel with. أولئك كالأنعام, they are worse than animals, بل هم أضل. موسى, فرعون is telling Haman, Oh Haman, build me a tower, a high tower, so I can go up into the heavens and look at the God of Musa. Verily, Musa is a liar. This is a dictator. This is the leader of the world at the time. He's asking for something ridiculous. Build me a tower to go up into the heavens. And then the man, the caller, he doesn't stop there. Fir'aun is talking, he goes back, and then he keeps going. He keeps talking. He keeps giving da'wah. What does he say this time? He says, Ya qawmi innama hadihi al-hayatu al-dunya innama hadihi al-hayatu al-dunya mata' wa inna al-akhirata hiya daru al-qarar man amila sayyatan fala yujza illa mithlaha وَمَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَأُولَئِكَ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ يُرْزَقُونَ فِيهَا بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Oh, and then he says, وَسَتَذْكُرُونَ مَا أَقُولُ لَكُمْ وَسَتَذْكُرُونَ مَا أَقُولُ لَكُمْ وَأُفَوِّضُ أَمْرِي إِلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَصِيرٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. Brothers, sisters, please listen to this beautiful final reminder from this man. He says, Ya قَوْمْ, O my people, إِنَّمَا هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا. This is just this life. This life is, you know, it's just like, you know, it's a, this is why we call it in Arabic dunya. Dunya is so low, something daniya, something very, very low. Don't be bewitched by this beauty of this dunya. Don't let it divert your attention and focus from that which is better, which is al-akhirah. Ya qawmi innama hadhihi al-hayatu al-dunya innama al-hayatu al-dunya mata' wa inna al-akhirata hiya darul qarar, and the best for it is al-akhirah. Al-akhirah is the actual, يعني, you know, this is the our future. Our focus should be towards al-akhirah. Our, all our thoughts and thinkings and focus should be towards al-akhirah, should be towards pleasing the Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, versus this dunya. This dunya is just, you know, just like a trampoline, you're just like moving from one thing to another. You're moving from one stage to another. It's just like a traveler going, traveling, and then he has a stop, and then after that stop, he resumes his journey. Such is this dunya. Don't let this dunya divert you from the main focus, from the main point. And then he says, whosoever does good from either male or female, وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ, and he's a believer, فَأُولَٰئِكَ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ, they shall be admitted to Jannah. He says something really beautiful. Whosoever does righteousness or works righteousness from either male or female, provided that they are believers, they shall be admitted to Jannah. يُرْزَقُونَ فِيهَا بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ, Allahu Akbar. They shall be there. They shall, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall give them reward without any counting. Subhanallah. بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. In abundant. The reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be in abundant, without any hisab. This is the true success. The true success is not, you know, yes, that does not mean that you should not do nothing back home, back here in the dunya, that you should not just, you know, you should go to the masjid and live in the masjid and just pray and wait for death. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. No, do seek, mashallah, you know, a beautiful life, beautiful job, beautiful, you know, car and property and whatnot and business, as long as it is in halal. But don't forget the main focal point, which is, the focal point is al-Jannah. And to, you know, get and earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he shall be, what? He said he shall be admitted to Jannah. And then at the very end, he says, and I'm going to end with this, brothers and sisters. At the very end, he says, وَسَتَذْكُرُونَ مَا أَقُولُ لَكُمْ وَأُفَوِّضُ أَمْرِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. You shall remember that which I'm telling you. You shall remember. Maybe you believe in me today, or maybe you will not. But one day you shall remember what I'm telling you. And I delegate my affairs to Allah. Sometimes you talk to your children or to your friends or to your loved ones, and you keep on talking and trying to enjoin good, you know, in a nice way, in a kind way, trying to, you know, lead them to do something good. And then at the end, you know, they don't listen, or they will not want to listen, or they want not to follow, right? So at the end, what do you say? Say, one day you shall understand. One day you will see. But maybe that day will be too late. وَسَتَذْكُرُونَ مَا أَقُولُ لَكُمْ. You shall remember what I'm telling you one day. But maybe that day, it will be very late. And today, my brothers and sisters, I tell myself first before I tell you. I tell myself first before I tell you. If you and I do not want to take heed, prophets, they did their message, you know, they delivered their message. Khalas, Prophet Muhammad delivered their message. We have the Quran. If you do not want to follow, one day you will understand, but maybe that day it will be late. That day, maybe one day, you don't want to wear hijab today, but maybe one day you will understand why you should wear hijab, and maybe it will be too late. You don't want to pray today, but maybe one day you will understand, and maybe it will be too late. You don't want to let go of that which is you doing, that which is haram. You don't want to let go, but you don't want to let go, tayyib. One day you will understand, and maybe that one day it will be too late for you. You will open your eyes somewhere else, in another world. Not in this world, but in another world. So it will be too late for you to repent. So that's what the man was saying. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him. He did his job. This man conveyed the message. He conveyed the message. He did his job. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَوَقَاهُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِ مَا مَكَرُوا فَوَقَاهُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِ مَا مَكَرُوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him, preserved him, protected him from all the evil of Banu Israel. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the people of Fir'aun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected that man. He did his job, he conveyed his message. Fir'aun, as I said, still adamant, very opinionated, hard-headed. He's not letting go. Although he's been defeated, his own cousin now believes, his wife believes, all the ex-sorcerers believed, yet Fir'aun not letting go. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down altogether Nine miracles. Allah, 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 Allah. Altogether, nine miracles. So far, two miracles have appeared already. And there were seven more miracles to show to Fir'aun. Fir'aun would actually work out a deal with Musa at some point. Yes. Yes. Fir'aun will work out a deal with Musa. Yeah. Would he let go at some point? At some point, Fir'aun will be stuck. And he will work out a deal after seeing one of those miracles. As I said, altogether, Musa's miracles are nine miracles in Egypt. In Egypt, nine miracles. Two miracles were already, halas, they were shown to Musa, to Fir'aun. Now remain seven more miracles. And at some point, Fir'aun will work out or try to work out a deal. What's going to happen? Would he stick to his deal? He will work out a deal with Musa. Would he stick to his deal? What is this deal about, by the way? The deal between Fir'aun and Musa. What is this deal about? Because eventually Musa will take Ben Israel out. How will he take them out? In what way? What route would they take? What route would they go from? What journey? To where? To whom? To in what direction? How would they communicate with one another? How would Musa be talking to almost 100,000 people, Ben Israel, taking them out all from Egypt? How would he communicate with them? What kind of miracles? What is the first miracle? What's the second? What's the third? What's the fourth? What's the fifth? What's the sixth? What's the seventh? The eighth and ninth. What would happen, sisters and brothers? What do you think? What do you smell? Do you smell anything? You don't smell anything? Does anyone smell anything here? I smell it. I smell it coming from very far. Yes, I smelled it a long time ago. I don't know about you guys, but I did. Huh? Did you smell anything? It is. I smell something. Yes, it is. Ify, cliffy, cliffy, hangy. It is that cliffhanger, brothers and sisters. Remember, I promised that we'll stick to about, 40 minutes or so. Inshallah ta'ala, to keep it interesting, to keep it, more mind-blowing, inshallah ta'ala, not to get you bored, inshallah. So brothers and sisters, Zakum Allah khair, it is definitely a cliffhanger. Inshallah, once we meet, bi-idhnillah, next week, we will resume our story with Musa. But then, brothers and sisters, another life, another stage in the life of Musa alayhi salam. Now he was going to take Ben Israel, another miracles, another life, another struggle. Yes, there was a lot of struggle with Fir'aun, but now there will be another type of struggle. The struggle with Banu Israel. La ilaha illallah. Banu Israel, my brothers and sisters, 124,000 prophets. 124,000 prophets. The majority of these prophets were sent to Banu Israel. 100,000 prophets, 124,000. The majority were sent to Banu Israel, the children of Israel. The Muslims, one prophet, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who is rahmatan lil alameen, sent out to mankind. But Banu Israel, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them 124,000. The majority was sent out to Banu Israel. They killed a lot of them. They did not believe in a lot of them. Yani you will see the struggle of Musa with Banu Israel. Another type of struggle, another design, another hardship of a different type with Banu Israel, my brothers and sisters. So that will be really, really interesting to see the story of the cow. The story of the cow. The story of Musa alayhi salam when he will be traveling with Al-Khidr. We will talk about that as well. Musa and Al-Khidr. The story of Al-Kahf. We will talk about that, inshallah ta'ala. We will talk about the cow, the Al-Khidr. We will talk about, you know, the splitting of the springs coming out from the rocks, you know, for the groups, you know, of Banu Israel, as they will be split in different nations or in different groups or in different sects, you know, how many sects. We will talk about all that, inshallah ta'ala, as the series or this series of stories of the prophets will, inshallah ta'ala, continue. We will resume next week, next Friday. Remember, put this in your calendar, inshallah ta'ala, next Friday and Saturday and Sunday, inshallah ta'ala, whether you are on Facebook, whether you are on Instagram, you know, please do come in and tell your, you know, loved ones and your families, and do share. Those of you who've come in late, these sessions are saved. Go back and watch them and share them with your loved ones, inshallah ta'ala. Share them with your friends and families, you know, especially the YouTube links. Alhamdulillah, please do share those. Barakallahu fikum, jazakumullah khair, brothers and sisters. May Allah bless you all. Those of you who've been fasting the 9th, 10th, and 11th of Muharram, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept your fasting. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless you and to accept you. And just so you know, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, anyone who fasts one day fi sabilillah, fasting one day fi sabilillah, whoever fasts one day fi sabilillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would, you know, preclude him from entering Jannah, will prevent him from entering Jannah the distance of 70 years. If you were to fast one day fi sabilillah, if you didn't fast, you still have tomorrow, Monday, you know, which is, you know, the Prophet used to fast Mondays, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays are the three white days, the three ayyam al-bayd, you know, the half of the month, right? Half of Muharram, the half of the month, you know, 13, 14, 15 of the month. So you still have tomorrow. So the Prophet says, whosoever fasts one day fi sabilillah. This is called voluntary fasting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will prevent him from entering hellfire the distance of 70 years. Imagine 70 years. بَعَدَ اللَّهُ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ النَّارِ مَسِيرَةَ 70 سَنَةً 70 خريفاً في الحديث 70 خريفاً 70 years he would be prevented from entering hellfire, meaning that person would be prevented from entering Jahannam, يعني hellfire, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakum Allah khair. So try to fast these days, inshallah. Barakallahu feekum. Thank you so much. Thank you, Hamid Buhu, Hafiz. Thank you, Mu'nisa, Bayzuri Aziz, Yashmin, Fatima, Nawad. Thank you all, Layla. And all those of you who are here, Shazia, thank you so much, brothers and sisters. Those on Facebook, thank you so much, Kamran. May Allah bless you all. Barakallahu feekum. Hafiz Khan, thank you. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakallahu khair. Karima, barakallahu feekum. May Allah bless you all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum salam. Say Badaghani. Badaghani Kareem. Ghani Kareem. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallahu khair. Assalamu alaikum. السلام عليكم.